Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Doom Slayers.
Yes, that's right. Our first live show is happening at Mayo Pride. How exciting.
I prefer ketchup.
We'll be bringing a special version of our cosmically acclaimed podcast with additional sketches, musical numbers, and of course, a lot of doom to slay on the 1st of June 2024.
Tickets are
8 euro and 0, 0 cents.
And are available on
www.mayopride.com.
Get your tickets now and slay it to our faces!
But we didn't know what they were, so suddenly we just heard like a cacophony of gunshots.
Oh my god.
At sundown.
We thought the village was coming.
Yeah, we were like, oh my god!
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Doom Slayers, the podcast where we ponder and pontificate on the horrors of being a homo sapien and what can feel like the conclusion of our earthly presence. My name is Annie Queries.
I'm Layla Beatty.
And I'm Donna Fella.
And together we are three loose women here to guide you through the doom and gloom of our dystopian present with an asinine antidote of appalling advice so you may slay away the modern malaise. This week we'll be discussing travel.
Pascal Sheehy, RT News.
I was kind of hoping to give the lady, you know, the air steward lady who does the announcements, the unintelligible announcements at the airport.
Can we ask for a Mr. Okabaki and a Miss Jane Godoshi to come to the service desk immediately? We're boarding immediately.
This is like the intercom in my school. Whenever there was anyone with a name that wasn't Irish, there was just like a long pause.
Oh. But yeah, we're talking about travel, you know, because the weather's turning. We're coming into, what does this say? We're at the start of Q2.
Yes, we're thinking of summer. We're thinking of sun. We're thinking of sex.
Banged up abroad.
Yes, I hope I am getting banged up something.
I have an awful goo on me for a holiday though, honestly.
Oh yeah.
I haven't gone anywhere since did I tell you I was in Paris last year?
Oh.
But no, I haven't gone anywhere since then. And before that I was doing about a holiday every 2 or 3 months because I was unemployed, as we recently talked about. But yeah, I have an awful goo on me to get away now and just do nothing.
Well, you could do like a nice staycation maybe.
Yeah, I don't even think I could afford that, to be honest.
No, well, staycations are more expensive than actual travel.
Yeah, they are.
I was recently travelling for work and I just went down to Dungarvan. Like, it wasn't like exotic, but at the hotel I got room service and I just got like a steak and an apple crumble.
Just a steak. Just a simple humble steak.
And an apple crumble. And it was like 60 something euro for the room service.
Yeah.
How? In Dungarvan.
Did you get a drinky?
I just had like Coke Zero.
That is disgusting.
Well, yeah. I'm sure Hunky Fireman Calendars Limited will reimburse you for any expenses that were incurred.
They've just revised their expenses policy. I'm not sure what
they've gone very tight with the meat.
Now, do you know what? I did tip though. I don't think I was meant to tip on the company credit card. But you know, the whole hotel was like fully staffed by children. It was like Lord of the Flies.
Oh, that's, they can only get kids to work in hotels now because everyone hates working in hotels now.
Fair. It seems like a terrible job.
Mm.
But when I got the room service, like two of them came, but like one of them was just like the pal.
Aww.
Like one of them carried the tray and then the other one was like, hiya. So I felt like I had to give them their pocket money. So I was like, no, I put up a fiver on their fees. But I was like, are they going to split it? I'll go buy a bag of pennies waste or something down the shops.
It definitely wasn't 60 euro. It was definitely like 30 something. And they were like, let's charge them 60.
They were actually just the twins from The Shining. So you got a bit afraid.
Don't play with us.
Yeah.
But yeah, travel. Well, love a bit of travel.
Yes.
And I think it's one of the most important. If it's a huge privilege to be able to travel.
Oh, hugely.
And
privileged.
If you have the privilege, I think you should really take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, see the world, explore what's out there.
Mm.
But it also does, it does open you up to an awful lot of doom, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a, doom catalyst.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, two of the dooms that we've had so far, and we're not that far into season one, have been related to being on holidays, haven't they?
Yeah,
at
well,
least two. Probably
I
more.
Think most of our doom stemmed from our shared trip to Paris.
Yeah.
which I think we've covered ad nauseum now. But that particular trip obviously kind of solidified the foundation of the Doom Slayers, even though we didn't know it would be doom that we will be slaying in future.
Yeah, well, we thought we just had a friendship on our hands, but turns out it's a business.
Yes, it's transactional.
But a unique business in that there is no income associated with the business.
Yeah, just it's very expenditure driven.
Yeah, we were
massive
out.
Overhead.
Time, money, effort.
Yeah. One of them is sitting in the room with us, producer Niall. It's our major expense, actually. Yeah. He's the only one making a cent off this so far.
We were out the other night and somebody was asking Annie and I, like, when are you going to get a Patreon? And we were like, you know, obviously maybe we will get a Patreon down the line, but like, I want a patron. Patron each.
Yeah.
You know,
I want a Dimitri rich person to step in and just give us loads of money.
I want to work for the love of one person, not, you know, hundreds. He'll give us 250 or something a week.
Exactly. We want, like someone for whom we can be their muse.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm a sellout. Like, I'll do anything. Like, I'll fully promote. You know,
there is
a, hear that, Kellogg's?
There is a collection box actually stored in Dublin City Council just behind the compost bins for Layla. Yeah. If anybody would like to donate.
Yeah, it's shaped like my head. There's like those dog things in Tesco. There's a little hole on the top, a little slot. And you just put it in between the roots.
Yeah.
Can't miss it.
Yeah. Big black line.
Okay, so does anyone have any specific travel dooms they want to discuss?
Well, yeah, like a lot of our dooms are travel related. We obviously had the Warsaw episode for me.
London for me.
And Paris for us all. But I suppose my most recent thing was last year. I went on a trip to New York City, honey.
The Windy Apple.
I'm always windy after apples. So I've only been to New York twice, but it's like literally my favorite place in the world. Like, it's, you know, when people say like, oh, it's nothing like what you think it is. I was like, New York is everything like I thought it would be, but also so much more. We got like ridiculous, like this is like the first time I went. So we got like 300 euro flights or something return. Like, it was insane. But like, you know, we were flying on like, you know, it was basically like those Dublin T buses. It was a plane.
Fabulous.
But
probably not even suitable to go to the Aran Islands. And like,
no, God, no, no. Air Aran was like going, girl. But we flew into an airport. It was like Stewart Airport. So it's like an hour outside the city. Exactly. Yeah. It was literally like Knock Airport. Like, it was one of these tiny ones. And I was expecting like security to be so intense. And it was literally like you go up the escalator and you're at the gates. Like,
okay.
But anyways, the whole reason I'm saying this is because we had to get a bus into New York City and the bus took like an hour.
Mm.
And it was like really misty.
Mm.
So like we were coming in by like New Jersey or something, but you couldn't see anything. So like the whole city, like skyscrapers and all, was just like covered in mist. So you could see like the bottom of the buildings. Mm. It was very like dystopian. It was kind of gorgeous.
Yeah,
and then we pulled into like wherever the bus station was, which was like Port Authority or whatever. And we didn't know where we were. So I was like, Grant, we'll get our bearings now. We'll go outside for a smoke or a vape or whatever. And then we'll figure out where we are.
Are you sure the bus driver didn't take one look at you and drop you in Queens?
Well, we were staying in the BK, so that would have been an inconvenience. But we were like, we'll go out for a smoke now and get our bearings, whatever. So we went out the doors and it was literally like Times Square. Like,
oh, God.
Neon lights, hot dog yolk, steam coming out of the ground, like Broadway, the whole thing. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like,
It's so overwhelming, isn't it, when you see it first? Oh, like, my God. In an amazing way.
But like, it was the perfect introduction to New York because it was like just literally a picture, like.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, that was the first time I went. But I went back again last summer, and I went with the same girl, my friend Dee. And we booked an Airbnb in Brooklyn off this man called Dimitri, I believe his name was.
Okay.
And
again, another GDPR breach.
Well, this man deserves it.
Okay, we're doxing.
Yes, we are absolutely doxing. Let me pull up the address. So we were staying in this Airbnb. We were there for like 10 or 11 days. And it was like, I don't want to disclose too much. No, I do actually want to disclose a bit about Dimitri. So it seemed like this was giving custody house, you know.
Oh.
So it was like two bedroom. Oh. It was like his bedroom and then the child's bedroom, you know.
Oh. What?
So, yeah, but the child wasn't there. Like, no one
he
was
there. Dimitri wasn't there.
No, one was okay. there. Okay. So it was two bedroom.
So it was like the apartment he bought after he got divorced, yes. basically. And there's a room for the child. Yeah, okay.
His suitable. Sad bachelor hovel.
Yes, mm. yeah. Oh, very much so. There was like a kind of U-shaped leather couch and a massive telly.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, terribly decorated.
Mm, of course.
Few like...
Utility.
Children's drawings on the fridge, oh. you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, I'm feeling... empathy yeah, towards well, Dimitri at this
we'll
point
get
of the
there.
Story.
This is your first time.
I am feeling weird.
Empathy, I think.
Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. So anyways, we were staying there for like 10 or 11 days. And throughout the course of my holiday, you know, I may have... had a few suitors.
As is your prerogative.
Visit in the dark of night.
It's like that show, you know, the one where they have sex in New York, Friends.
Oh.
Gneso Kagasan.
Kahar.
Kahar. Anyways, so when we got to the apartment, we noticed there was a camera at the door. So you like went up the stairs or whatever, and the front door of the apartment, there was a camera. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, that's interesting. But it's obviously like, you know, for security, which is great because, you know, New York.
Mm. Like a door cam.
Yeah. Mm. Anyways, throughout the stay, I had a few gentlemen callers come
Should
and
you
go.
Want to say that again?
we bragging, get it. You've had
bragging.
Sex.
Honest to God.
Jesus.
But didn't think anything of it. And then towards the end of the stay... I also should add, Kiancora, that there were other people who came for like pre-drinks and stuff. Mm. So like on the first or second night, we met a bunch of Irish people and I brought them all back and made a few mm-hmm. drinks or whatever.
As is your right again. I don't yeah. see any issue with this.
So
non-penetrative guests.
Yeah. yeah. Hosts. They weren't long haul. but the haul was quite long. So anyways, then towards the end of our trip, we were like sitting in some square or whatever, and we realized our flight was cancelled. And we were like, shit, what are we going to do? So we were like trying to figure out like a new flight. And then in the middle of that, all that, we got a message from the Airbnb host, Dimitri. And he was like, I've noticed that you've had a few unqualified or whatever, unpaid for guests. Mm. And he was like, you do realize that there is a fee for extra guests, right? Mm. And we replied and we were like, oh, well, like obviously we're paying for the apartment, like the whole thing. Mm. There was nothing said about, you know, uninvited guests or whatever, unmentioned guests.
Mm-hmm. And did any of them stay the night apart from suitors? Like,
well, if only I could get them to stay the night.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's a separate episode.
yeah. Well, yeah, so two or three may have stayed the night. But
just that one night.
Well, funnily enough, that is quite relevant.
Okay.
So he started like giving out basically that we had these unapproved guests, right? And then he said... He then proceeded to send screenshots from the camera that was at the door of all the people who had entered and left the apartment.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. So there was like a guy I brought back. Then there was like a few, the Irish gang I brought back. But then there was another guy I brought back who had a t-shirt or a string vest that said, "Spank me harder, daddy."
You can pick them.
And then... And then he replied to that and he was like, yeah, maybe you remember the gentleman with the spank me harder daddy vest top. And then he said, to think of the things that have happened in my home.
My home. That's
right. So then we were like, I was like, girl. I was like, she done gone homophobic. So I was like, oh, we have him now.
Yeah,
so
yeah, like, that was such a sloppy move.
We were like, we can assure you that nothing or whatever. We were like, we don't really know what you're talking about or whatever. Then next thing we get a notification on Airbnb, $1,000 fine.
Stop. Yeah.
And then in his complaint, he said, at least 10 unapproved guests, suspected sex parties.
Oh my God.
And the girl I was with was like, she was like, I'm not getting fucking carried into that. And I was like, I get the logic, but like, surely they'd have to all come together for it to be a sex party. But you see, do you know what I think it was as well? The Irish gang we brought, how to say this nicely, us Irish can dress a bit more provocatively than maybe an American might, you know, for a night out. So like they were all like on
gym. I don't know what you mean.
Layla here, bare-breasted at the table. But yeah, so I think he made some grand assumptions.
Right.
So we were like, fuck, and we were trying to like rearrange the flight in the middle of all this.
Definitely raging because he's never had sex in that apartment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But then we messaged Airbnb and we were like, here. And then we were like, he was a bit homophobic, like, because he was saying like, this disgusting or whatever, like, that this is happening in my home. And it was like, well,
also, are you allowed to have a camera?
Well, the camera is like for security reasons. It wasn't for surveillance, but obviously we were like, we believe our host has been surveilling us.
Which he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, he screenshotted everything, like.
Yeah. So anyways, everything got cancelled and it was fine because Airbnb loved to keep everyone happy.
Yeah.
But then we had to give a review because they were like, oh, you should give a review. We were like, but obviously he's going to slate us, like. Mm. They were like, no, it'll be fine. And then we gave a review. Well, my friend did on her account. It's on her register now, not mine.
Oh, so I don't mind. Grand. So you had the sex parties, but your friend
allegedly
has the reputation.
Alleged.
I had an Airbnb story as well, which I think I'll just tell. Let's just do an Airbnb episode. No, but I'm joking. I'll get to all the other travel doing some other day. But last summer, my friend and I went to Paris for 6 weeks and we stayed in an Airbnb with... okay. It was an Airbnb. It was a woman's apartment. And she was very freaked out. Elodie was her name. Mm-hmm. I don't
doxing.
No, yeah. I don't mind naming her either because she was the villain in the story.
Okay.
But she texts me beforehand being like, hello, ?
Oh.
You're supposed to tell me how many guests are coming.
Oh.
You're supposed to have register all this information before you come. And you haven't yet.
Oh.
It's about 3 weeks before I was actually flying out. And I was like, yeah, as I said in my intro, when I requested the thing, myself and a friend are coming to stay for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And
I can't believe she went in with hello.
Hello.
I know.
Hello. Hello.
And immediately I was like, don't like this woman.
No.
And then she did a few things. There were a few more messages back and forth where she was really pissing me off. But anyway, we went. And then the friend I was with, I mean, we're all friends with him. He loves to see the good in women, no matter what they are.
He does.
And when we got there, he was saying, ah, she's gas. And I was like, oh, I don't trust her a bit.
Yeah,
there's something.
Dead right.
And now she did say to us, she just moved in with her husband, her new husband. They were like newlyweds. And this was her apartment before she married him.
Okay.
And she was now using it as an Airbnb. And she was like, I'm very nervous about renting out my home and everything. Mm. And I was like, okay. Well, I was like, text you later. Like, I don't really care. There were no towels in the apartment. Like, there was nothing like that. We had to go straight to the shop and get towels and shit. Like,
which
it was
not great.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a single thing in the fridge or anything. Like, a 6 week stay, and I tell you, we were paying through the fucking nose for it as well.
Yeah.
Wasn't a single thing.
And as you know from previous podcasts, there's nothing to do in Paris.
No.
Nothing.
Except prank calls.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
To libraries and rat mines.
Well, that's it. Well, interesting you bring up the prank calls. Because when Cece came to visit, now, we went and we bought an air mattress because I was thinking, I was thinking loads of people were going to be coming over. And I was like, everyone will give us like €2 and that will pay off the air mattress. Now, two people came and they gave us fiver and that basically paid off the air mattress. Pyramid it was a cheap scheme. One.
MLM.
But, But Cece came over and one night came home and yanked a press door off the kitchen.
I just can see that for Cece.
Sorry, this is not a shocking revelation because this particular friend is like a Tasmanian devil.
A Beyblade,
literally just like a bull with dyspraxia. Just
didn't she break your mirror?
Yeah, first time she was in our apartment, she smashed my mirror.
I was with her in another undisclosed location and she smashed a mirror once as well. In a dressing room.
And the bad luck just keeps stacking and stacking.
That's when I got gangrene. No, but ever since then, I got a new mirror and I put it away anytime anyone's coming over because I was like, I'm just like, never again.
Yeah.
But anyway, please continue.
So anyway, she came over. So they were these presses that like the hinges are on the top and you like swing them open.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And she pulled from one side and ripped the hinge. Who knows how the fuck she did it? But anyway, this wasn't like an IKEA kitchen, like it was, you know. And I was like, fuck's sake. And then she kept trying to fix it and I kept getting out of bed and being like, go to bed. Just go get into bed. And then I'd go back to sleep and I'd hear her trying to fucking fit. And I'd get up and I'd be like, go to bed, Cece.
She'd only make it worse.
Exactly. That's what I was like. Don't break it any fucking more.
Yeah. We can't have the unhinged fixing the hinged.
Yeah. So anyway, we that was a good one. I was thinking, what am I going to do with this one? Because I know it's going to be a whole drama with her. But I was like, I'll text her. We'll offer to pay the money. We'll, you know, it was literally just a hinge that was broken. A screw would come out of a hinge. You might have had to get a new hinge. I don't know. I'm not a fucking contractor. But I text her and I was like, do you want to come over? This broke. And also it was a few days before we were due to leave, so I was like, do you want to have a look at the place as well?
Yeah.
And I might be the villain in this part.
Fine.
Don't villain shame.
Yeah.
Now there was no way of disposing of glass. There was no recycling bin in this building. It was just waste bin. And not a compost inside, I might add.
But, devastating.
The French eat everything. So
there was none to throw away.
No waste.
But this building only had a waste bin. And I was like, I'm not putting all this glass, because there was a lot of glass because I was there. And I was like, I'm not putting all this glass into a waste bin.
From all your perfume bottles.
There was no, like, I mean, I don't think in Paris they have, like, what we have over here, like bottle banks. Otherwise we would have dropped them down.
I don't know if you know this, but I actually used to live in France. And they do have bottle banks. And they're like kind of big squares on the street, like a big massive bin that you basically go up to.
There was none in the area I was in because I did extensively look. I used to go on walks all the time. Maybe in Lyon they do things differently.
More civilized.
You had originally planned to be there for 2 weeks, but you extended it to 6 weeks so you could find that bottle bag.
Exactly. Yeah. That was that's exactly. I got trapped there trying to recycle.
La bonne de beauté.
Tale as old as time.
But anyway, so we left a big box of bottles. Well, actually we left two. Because I was getting a few mango orders and stuff like that. So I had these boxes and I was like, I'll just put all the bottles in here and she can sort that. Yeah. I don't know how to dispose of them.
Fair,
there's no recycling bin here. Yeah. We had to throw our paper out. I felt bad enough about that. So anyway, I left all that. And so she came by and I was like, listen, you know, this press broke. I don't know what the story is. And she was like, oh, my husband will probably be able to fix that. Okay. And I was like, okay, well, we'll throw you money for it. Like, I was like, €50, €100 maybe. Mm-hmm. I was like, we'll sort all that out. Stupid me. And I should have said, I'll send it to you now. But I was like, we'll sort all that out. And that was grand. Anyway, on our last day, we also had a doom because we missed our flight. Because, well, it was completely my fault, but I'll get into that another day. But we missed our flight. And then in the middle of trying to sort out getting another flight and getting a hotel to stay the night and everything, we get a request on Airbnb for €850.
Give over.
Saying she had to replace her whole kitchen.
Scammer.
So she said, I have a fitted kitchen that was made by a carpenter. It was plastic. It was bloody IKEA. And anyway, she went into all this and I was bawling. And my friend was there, will we not just pay her? And I was like, no, we're not paying her that.
No way.
So we sent her counterbalance and I sent her 75. which I was between the 50 and 100.
Still a lot, like, to fix a fucking hinge.
Yeah,
like.
It was between the 50 and 100 that we agreed on. And I knew even if we'd sent her 850 euro, her husband would have just gone in and fixed it. Yeah. So I was just determined not to. And the great thing was I had all the texts on WhatsApp where I'd informed her of it, where it was clear that she'd come over because she texted me like, I'm outside, I ran down and everything. And like, so I kind of had all that to send to Airbnb. So I did a massive complaint. Mm. Airbnb came back and said, okay, pay 200. And I was like,
what?
No. So I went back to Airbnb and went ham, like, you know, and I was like, this woman didn't even provide towels. She didn't even, and all that kind of stuff. And eventually they came back and said, we've closed this and you don't owe anything.
Yeah, they're very good like that.
But I have her bad review on my account.
Yeah.
And she says they had a bed, so God knows who was staying there. They had extra guests, apparently. They had left bottles everywhere.
She
said that her couch was stained. Which, like,
bottles of cum.
But the couch was a white leather couch. Like, it was not stained. And also, like, I had the text. Oh, yeah, because that was one of the things that she tried to charge for as well, that the couch was stained with orange stain, apparently. And I was like, she inspected the apartment before we left. It wasn't stained.
And your foundation is zero white. It's like, there's no
transparent. I don't wear fake tan. I wear white foundation. Yeah, exactly. There was no cause
there's
for orange.
Source of orange.
I imagine this woman just like taking multiple pictures of the one broken press, but like going, in the background of each different angles, flipping the picture, being like,
sacre bleu.
That's exactly what she was like. And like, I think the review started as like, these people seemed very nice, but unfortunately they were deceitful. And anyway, c'est un cauchemar. Quel dommage, it all got fixed. But you know what? After all the money I paid her, I'm still bullying about it. Like, honestly, absolutely. I feel like I've... Yeah. And then I looked on her account, actually the other day, because I still think about this, and I went to talk to her account. Mm-hmm. And she had a holiday recently, and they tried not to pay and all this on the Airbnb reviewer. So anyway, she's just a fucking scammer weapon.
Oh, she's...
Well, very French. That's all I'll say. Very French.
It's usually me isolating communities.
Well, I'm not to call them out. They're all scammers.
Now, Miss Queries, you are probably the most travelled of the people around the table here today, because you have been around the world and
she travelled to former Soviet Union.
I mean, she's been to Dungarvan.
She voted in the EU.
She was the first person to circumnavigate the world with Magellan.
I helped Da Vinci with his early sketches of the flying aircraft.
Yeah, one of my favourite pictures of you is you in the first hot air balloon.
Oh, the humanity!
Evil!
So, yeah, well, I don't know. I've gone on like a lot of holidays, which is lovely, but I actually haven't lived abroad ever, which it's on my list. I will do it. Yeah, I do want to live abroad.
You little bitch! I need to hear.
No, not tomorrow. But Sunday. But as soon as I knew we were talking about travel, this is the trip that I knew the trip I was going to discuss. It was just cursed from the get-go. And it's really turned me off Portugal in general.
When you
forever.
Went away with the Donner Party.
Yeah, it was going to be a cozy retreat.
Did not work out that way. No, it was years ago, right? I was in my like mid-20s, and me and my boyfriend at the time, we were always trying to like live the champagne lifestyle, but on like a champagne budget.
On a chips budget, that's what my mom always says.
Yeah. So we wanted to get like our own private villa, but we were like a bit strapped. So like we went on this website and we got the cheapest villa on the entire website.
Oh,
I'm not just talking about in Portugal, I'm talking about the entire website.
In the world.
Yeah. Their entire catalogue, this was the lowest you could pay to have a villa. Which should have been a clear indication of what to expect. Mm. But, you know, here we are. We booked this and it was like up in like the northern part of Portugal, which is kind of like their wine country. I don't know if you've ever tried Portuguese wine. Disgusting. Yeah.
I had green wine once and it was sick.
Oh, terrible. Yeah. But we were really excited. We booked like 2 weeks. So it was a big commitment to that location. as we were like this, the humiliation like began from the beginning, like from the start of the trip. So like when we were boarding the plane, the air steward was like, you know, welcoming people aboard. But for some reason, I thought he was shaking everyone's hand as they got on. And as I boarded the plane, he like was pointing with his index finger as in like this way. And I was reaching out to shake his hand. So I ended up like shaking his finger.
You shake his finger.
Hold my finger. Like a baby that's just been born.
Yeah, literally. I was like grabbing daddy's hand. And that's what they put in the Hallmark card. And I can see it happening in slow motion.
I can see it too.
As I had already committed to the movement, I suddenly realized, I was like, oh no, this isn't a handshake, but I've already started, so I'll finish.
And then luckily you didn't look for the tube to blow on to inflate.
Yeah, <geez. laughs> but yeah, once we ducked together, he kind of went, oh, and I went, oh.
He bonded for the first time.
Yeah. And so then that was just like such a bad omen for the way the trip was going to go. So we got to the villa and it was like, it was in sort of like amongst a vineyard, which again, very idyllic, very gorge.
Mm.
Beautiful like vines growing on the gates and all. And there was like a main building and then there was like a pool. And then there was like another building where they seemed to have like billiards and things. So we were like, well, this all seems great. And then like the lady who like was like showing us around, I think she might have been the caretaker. I don't think she was the owner, but she was just showing us around. And we just got some indications that perhaps we were in quite a conservative part of the country.
Oh no, okay.
It's giving nursing home so far.
Yeah. Honestly, but when they were showing us around and like
Trevor Marigold Hotel. Yeah. Or whatever it's called.
No, we were young at the time. It's not modern day. But there was no double bed. There was only like two single beds. And in between them, there was like a stool for prayer. With like a framed picture of the Virgin Mary.
De Guadalupe.
Like with knee cushions.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like not just like a bedside table.
Well, like, oh, I love this.
I mean, you
could use it for something.
Can you argue with knee cushions? I mean... on your holidays.
So yeah, we were a bit alarmed by that. And then like later that day, we like turned on a lamp. There was like kind of like a vestibule before the main bedroom, and we turned on the lamp and it like projected this massive crucifix onto the opposite wall. Like the lampshade was like zoom, and we were like, oh! It was like, it was chilling.
Jesus.
Do you know?
And, yeah, that would terrify me.
Life is a mystery.
Yeah. As darkness descended, we realized that like they had these like automated like gunshots that they would play in the valley to scare away birds.
What?
But we didn't know what they were. So suddenly we just heard like a cacophony of gunshots.
Oh my God.
At sundown.
You thought the village was coming.
Yeah, we were like, oh my God. And we fucking jumped out of our skins. And then there was like, I don't know if it was like recorded or if it was like somebody on a megaphone, but all we could hear was like blah 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 blah.
Jesus Christ.
And it filled the valley.
What is this, Jonestown?
Yeah. No, it's true. And then they would play like weird accordion music.
Like projected through the area.
Yeah. It was like folk music.
Fado. Sorry.
No, it was so there were all sorts of spooky things happening, right?
Jesus.
Oh my God.
So for the whole first week it rained torrentially every single day. And this is the middle of June.
Right.
So we were trapped in the villa. We couldn't actually go outside because it was like literally downpour. And so we had to stay in the villa. But the villa was like, it was a really old building and it was very crusty and dusty and it was so many spiders.
Oh no.
And like you'd be like lying on the couch and then suddenly like a spider would just like emerge on your neck. And they were like daddy long legs. They were just like, you'd suddenly...
Ew,
just
the like, really long ones.
Yeah. So you couldn't relax. I couldn't relax at any point because I just felt like there was going to be a creep. Like we would like open like the duvet and there'd be a spider under it, like literally on your legs, which is my nightmare.
Producer Niall is getting...
No, horrifying.
Producer Niall hates spiders. So we had a holiday once
even
where
worse.
Even I had to kill it.
Oh, well, there you go. You wouldn't have liked this place at all. So we didn't even go to the pool because it was lashing. So there was no point going outside. So we kind of just like had to stay in. And it was so cold that we were drinking cocoa. And because it was like a summer home, they weren't set up for like central heating. So all they had were these like huge heaters that you would put literally an entire tank of butane into. And then you could wheel it around and then light it. So we took...
How were you eating, may I ask?
Oh, we like drove down to the like market in Bofford. I will say the fresh produce in the area was lovely.
It was a pity though that all the squashes had bullet holes.
Yeah. The weather got better for like the second week, thank God. So we felt like we just got out of prison or something. And so I like gaily galloped across the lawn towards the swimming pool on the first sunny day, only to discover that the lawn was also infested with spiders.
Oh,
and as you walked through it, they would scuttle over your feet.
No, there were that many.
So many. So the entire grass network was actually supporting
a
web.
How did the rain not drown them?
Freaks.
What? How did the rain not drown them?
I don't know. Maybe they were like burrowing.
Buoyant.
And then once I got to the pool, I discovered there was like a dead hedgehog floating face down. And then so I got my boyfriend. I was like, ew, there's a creature. And so he went to like scoop it out and like throw it away. So he like scooped it out. But because he's gay and terrible at throwing, he like tried to throw it far away from where we'd be. But it fell immediately beside where we were going to be sitting and tumbled into the bushes. And we couldn't find it. And then it went like really smelly after a few days.
At least the hedgehog had sense.
Yeah. And then like just loads of terrible things just kept happening all the time.
That's
and like
so
there was like... honestly, the most cursed.
Yeah, Kirsty McCall. Like,
what else happened? There was like a beautiful horse living next door who was like kind of like caramel colored, like very majestic, very beautiful. And so we were like, you know what? Let's go give the horse some apple. So we chopped his apple and brought him over. But then the horse immediately like transferred all of the horse flies that it was infesting onto me. And I had to run jump into the pool to get rid of them. And my boyfriend took a photo of me running away. Just like I probably have it somewhere. I'll try and find it.
For the gram.
I literally had to jump into the pool
to get rid of the horse flies.
Yeah, no, it was so cursed. And like all the locals were like so suspicious of us. Like they would like when they were driving, they would like slow down and just like look out the window with like a scowl.
Do you think this was their like local tradition for when a gay couple checked in, they'd like throw a hedgehog in the pool. They'd put spiders all over the property.
Yeah, maybe it must have, because it just did not seem set up well, not only just for gays but just like any couple. It just was like a very religious house. And they had all these like old faded pictures of like previous family members everywhere. Like it was so haunted.
Yeah. You sound like you know, the stepwife in The Parent Trap.
Yeah, no, it was extremely that. I just was like a CEO from the big city just not being able to cope with this bumpkin life. It was like overboard. But yeah, that was probably the most cursed.
Honestly,
I think you win. Yeah, that was like, yeah,
it was hell.
That's the recorded shotguns got me so bad. That's hilarious.
Every day, multiple times a day. Go ahead and relax.
Operator, give me a direct line to the Doomslayers.
Yes, you can now dial a Doom with our Doomslayers hotline, available on WhatsApp. Simply drop us a text or voice note on
0894940084 anytime, anywhere.
Please do not ring. Please do not contact after 6 p.m. Service not available in Chernanog, the Sea of Tranquility, or Roscommon.
Okay, so now we're going to do some letters. Donna, would you like to go first with your first desperate cry for a travel-based advice?
Okay, so I have a letter here from a user called Sleeveen on a Jet Plane.
How creative.
The title is, I feel like traveling is overhyped.
Okay. Oh.
I'm in my late 20s and the older I'm getting, the less inclined I am to travel anywhere. I prefer day trips so I can come back home and sleep in my bed. I don't like packing, getting up early to get the train/flight, arranging travel insurance, organizing a dog sitter, and the list goes on.
Okay.
With today's technology, we can walk the streets of a city on the other side of the planet.
Oh, for God's sake.
We can live. Oh, sorry. We can live chat and communicate with people from other country, and in that way broaden our horizons. Hmm. I have travelled. I have seen important cultural landmarks, and I always feel underwhelmed.
Oh, God.
I realise that the fact that I have travelled means that I have been privileged, as not everyone can afford it. Hmm. And I don't blame people for wanting to travel and experience it. I simply don't get the hype and pressure that exists to do it. I'm a bit over people that turn travelling into their entire personality.
Oh, well, I agree with that.
Especially if they only travel 1 to 2 times a year.
Oh.
To me, it feels like so much wasted money on a week when you could have invested that money into savings or something more tangible, I suppose.
Oh, give up.
I enjoy waking up in the morning, going for a walk with my dog, listening to the birds tweet, cook lunch, watch a movie in the evening, organising my closet. The everyday kind of things. It would be nice to know there are other people my age feeling the same way, because sometimes I feel a bit of an outcast.
Right.
Good for you, sir / ma'am. Like, what on earth was that?
I think that person will struggle to find anyone else their age with those values.
Well,
I enjoy organising my closet. All right.
I'm getting jaded. I'm getting hints of
snobbery.
Snobbery, privilege.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, sorry, we're just continuing the tradition of roasting people who submit to us. But.
I will say, like, there are elements that I understand. The narrative of travel and kind of like, I think everyone should travel, first of all. I should start off by saying that. I think it's the best thing anyone can do to, like, broaden your mind and broaden your sphere of interaction, because I think the more nuclear your kind of daily setup is, the less aware and open you are to, like, what the reality of being a living individual is.
Absolutely.
And it's not necessarily what happens in your little microcosm of the world, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say, a lot of things are underwhelming.
like
the Mona Lisa, underwhelming.
Oh, yeah,
you know? Yeah. And people react differently to things. I recently took my mom to Paris for the first time. You know, my mother's not like a very travel person. She doesn't have a massive interest in it.
Mm.
And
she prefers organizing her closet.
Yes, yeah. I think my mother actually wrote this. But, like, we got the metro to, like, the Arc de Triomphe, and we, like, came up the escalator or whatever. Mm. And when she saw it, she was like, oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. She was blown away. And I was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Because, like, I have such a love for Paris, and it was great to, like, share that with my mom. And she also had, like, we have, like, family connections to, like, Paris. And it was great for her to, like, have that whole experience of, like, oh, this is what they're all talking about, you know?
Mm.
But certain things are underwhelming, like, but I know people give out about Paris, for example.
Remember the taxidermy museum we went to in Paris? Sorry, just
well, that was not underwhelming.
That was amazing.
That was overwhelming, if anything.
There was the stuffed polar bear.
I haven't seen that many dogs in a room in a long time.
Yeah, the polar bear was 30 grand. If anyone has a spare 30... Jeez.
Imagine having a polar bear in your house, though. Like, fierce. The flex.
Yeah.
But no, back to Schlieving on a jet plane. I love how they're not really looking for any advice, but I'm sure there is a tribe that you can find solace in, but maybe not among the doomsayers. I don't know.
Well,
can we,
I think,
like,
they're on the boards.ie.
Ironically,
honest.
I think that person would have to travel to find her tribe because. It's an unusual set of values to have at this stage of life.
Yeah, they're
associated
giving,
with adventure
they're
and
giving
curiosity.
A bit older. Oh no, they said they're in their
late
20s.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in my late 20s and you're in very late 20s.
Very late, yeah.
In adventure, yeah.
Actually, that train is so late.
Yeah, they've actually cancelled that whole
I just think, like, when anyone goes on these kind of rants, it's just like, well, yeah, just do you. Like, nobody's making you travel. Just enjoy what you do or whatever. Like, it's, why are they like, oh, I feel left out and,
well,
you know,
I think they probably feel like they're an alien because it's such an unusual way to view travel. Like, I mean, yes, logistics are gick. Yes, yeah. It's very expensive.
And sometimes a holiday will just be a waste of money. You'll be like, I actually didn't enjoy that much and I spent loads of money on it.
But you know, I think, you know, I don't think you can ever be underwhelmed by like an incredible vista of the natural world. Like maybe like a piece of art, that's subjective. But if you go see like Niagara Falls or like, I don't know, something insane of natural beauty, I just don't think avoid the being overjoyed by it.
But we all take different things. Like, you know, we could go on the same trip and like I could see something that I was like, I thought that was like the fiercest thing ever and it was so gorgeous, and you're like, oh, it's just like a street or whatever. Yeah. But it's that, yeah, like you're saying, like it's kind of like we all take different things, but like I think this person is like a creature of comfort.
And yeah, a little home buddy.
We all know that travel is not necessarily comfortable.
Yeah.
I think it's actually rare for travel to be comfortable because there's all the logistics of getting there and all that, and you don't have your creature comforts and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. But sometimes, well, not that you want to experience physical discomfort, but sometimes, you know, the whole point of travel is to get uncomfortable because you're broadening your horizons.
Yeah. But some people just can't cope with that, I think.
It's a great story if you ever start a podcast as well.
What?
Some great stories if you ever start a podcast as well. Yeah.
No, but my dad would be the same. No, he doesn't really like change. He's actually very uncomfortable outside of his own house, to be fair. Like if you visit someone, you can tell he's itching to go home and sit on his more familiar chair.
I think that happens though with age. I think you just like want your comfort because you're just a bit wrecked by life. Yeah. So
with this person, I would like to share the words of my favourite poet, which are, don't want to be a bus driver all my life, gonna pack my bags and leave this town, grab a flight, fly away on Venga Airways, fly me high.
You beat the sky.
You beat the sky.
Yes, that was Seamus Heaney, actually.
Brings a tear to my eye every time.
So beautiful. Well, I just think there's also potential that this person works for Google Maps Street View department, and they're trying to discourage travel to increase Google Maps Street View.
No, I
the
think
thought of being like, I'm going to go to Berlin tonight and walk the streets and just signing onto your laptop and like pressing the forward arrow.
Like, it's exactly like, the same. 360.
I've been to Berlin, girls. To think I could have paid €360 for a flight to this.
No, I think this person is an ex-showrunner for Passion Fashion, and that's why they're pushing the organising the closet narrative. Well, I think we've done all we can do there. Anyone else have any dooms from listeners that they'd like to share?
I have one from come and go. Every time I read the millions of stories of people who go backpacking through Vietnam and Thailand and what have you, I can't help but be jealous of those people. I'm the sort of guy who is scared to even walk alone at night in a relatively safe city. How does one travel alone without the fear that someone is just going to walk up to you and mug or kill you? Okay. At the same time, even though I am in my late 20s, I've never traveled anywhere without my parents. When I even mentioned some of my co-workers traveling alone, they immediately said that they were crazy or lying. I think this is a reductive attitude and a prime example of their smothering ways. So I want to go somewhere without them for a change. In our last few trips, thanks to them, I didn't get to go to a lot of the places I wanted to go in those cities. What can I do to get over this fear?
I used to work with a girl whose parents were very overprotective as well. Her name is Britney Spears. No. No. She was from a very rural area of Ireland, and she was working and living in Dublin, and her parents were so concerned, and they had her up the walls about getting attacked by like people on the streets, that she used to put a padlock on her handbag.
Are we talking a code or a key?
A key.
I thought you were going to say like a chastity belt.
Probably.
On her underwear.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. But well, yeah, I don't know. It sounds like those parents are just completely suffocating and overbearing.
Yeah. But is this, okay, obviously like going outside of the parents, going with friends is like an easier step because solo travel is like definitely, I wouldn't say risky, but like
it's challenging.
It's overwhelming. Like it's a lot. Like, you know, I've done a good bit of solo traveling, and I do enjoy it, and I like being able to do it. But like, there are times when I'm like, oh, I'd really love if there was just someone else here, because like it's kind of, I don't know.
It's not the same experience as going with someone else. It's a bit more taxing,
like,
I think.
One of the good things about travel is like sharing the experience. Whereas when you're on your own, you can't really share anything. And that can be like lonely, I suppose. But it's nice. It's really like affirming to like do solo travel and be able to do that. And also, do you know, like, if you're in, like, somewhere and you want to do something, like, you want to go to, like, Louvre or something, and you're with people who, like, have already been or don't want to do that, like, you can just do exactly what you want to do, which is always fab. And if that's, like, do nothing and just, like, you know, sit out and drink an Aperol Spritz, that's great. But, yeah, maybe this person should find a nice little clique that they can do a nice little city break with.
Yeah, it's a great first step. I get lonely, so if someone doesn't talk to me for 10 minutes, so, you know, I get lonely in smoking areas sometimes when I'm with my closest podcast. Friends. But, the solo travel is difficult. But, yeah, it's an awful thing, I think, when parents make you so worried, I think.
But traveling solo is, like, a big deal for people who have been traveling with like, friends or whatever for years. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I've done a bit of solo traveling and I discovered I'm not into it and I don't think it's going to be something in my future.
And, you know, somebody might kill you. We can't deny you might get human trafficked.
Yeah.
I will say, my last solo trip, I went to Gran Canaria on my own for, like, 6 days. And, I think I blew my load figuratively and literally on the first two nights. And then the second night got sick in my bed in the hotel room and then was so mortified that, like, I wouldn't let the maid in to clean it. And that whole day I was just sitting there with, like, my sheets balled up with all the sick inside it, watching videos of panty and crying, doing like the noble call and everything. But it was lovely. I was like, that's how I choose to spend my holiday.
While solo traveling, I've had a lot of sex with people who don't speak my language, and that's
great.
Always a fun experience.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
pick up some phrases.
No, I'm always just like,
body language only.
No, I'm always just like, because I don't know what to say. I just laugh in their faces.
Man's dream is to be laughed at whilst performing sexual favors.
Well, that's what you get with me.
Laugh riot.
Go on your holiday. I wouldn't suggest solo traveling. It's definitely something that maybe you could do in the future. And then don't get caught up in all those people going on solo travels. Maybe they're just suited to that and you're not, because you're a loser who spends all your time with your parents.
No!
Donna's
on their side now, is she?
Finish on that.
No, come on,
don't. Be you, be true, and most importantly, be kind.
Okay, I'm so sorry to that person. Okay, so I have one from Totes Aki Auckland. And it's an international message we've received.
They said,
Doomslayers, help, I'm traveling in New Zealand.
Was this on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, this is
our one of our first texts on our WhatsApp. They say, I'm road tripping around New Zealand with a friend and he's driving me insane. He hasn't enjoyed all the tours we've been on and doesn't want to chat about anything. That's in capital letters.
Chat about anything?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're a week into our trip and this is the quietest I've ever been when hanging out with another person, as he rebuffs all my attempts at conversation.
Ooh.
He wears his AirPods in the car and around the accommodation.
Oh, Jesus.
Not that I've kept trying to talk to him. Honestly, he's bringing some seriously bad vibes to everything and it's ruining my trip. We don't have everything booked yet, but I feel like I want to ditch him in Wellington at the ferry.
That sounds like a gorgeous folk song.
Yeah. I'll probably book my own car in Pictionary and just relax alone for the rest of the trip. Just thinking about it is such a sharp relief that it makes me feel emotional. Obviously telling him he's ruining my trip with his negative energy is not the best way to approach this, but any advice on the best approach so we can split amicably or at least not have an argument that ends with very hurt feelings?
Oh god, that is tricky. Now,
I had a massive row with someone that I went on a holiday with once. It's just me and this person. I won't go into the details, but basically I just turned to them about halfway through and I said, I seem to be pissing you off so much that maybe you just shouldn't talk to me for the rest of the holiday.
Oh,
because I turned to them on the second day and I said, you need to stop giving out to me. everything I say you seem to be giving out about or whatever. And this is my first holiday post-COVID, so I was like very annoyed they were ruining it. And they were like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, okay, but like, you know. Anyway, it kept going. So yeah, anyway, halfway through the holiday, I was like, do you know what? You do your thing. I'll do my thing. See you on the airport, basically. Oh, and we were in the same accommodation. Right. It was very fucking awkward. But...
Are you still friends?
No. But it was a sharp relief. Like, I can see what this listener is talking about, because the minute I did it, I was like, phew. Yeah. I don't have to. I can plan my days now. Because it was in Lisbon as well. Love Lisbon. And I was like, I can go do stuff again.
Yeah, wow, wow, wow.
But it's a great city to, like, be on your own, because there's loads to do. And I went on a few dates and stuff. And I was like... it was such a relief, because I was like, I'm just planning my day and not have to worry about their moods and stuff, because it would be like we plan and then you'd wake up and the whole plan would change and stuff like that. And I'm not a huge plan person, but it was annoying that everything you suggested was being put down. So basically my advice is, yes, ditch them at the ferry, and I wouldn't over explain too much. Basically I would just say, do you know what, I don't think we're really clicking on this. You don't seem to be enjoying me. I don't seem to be enjoying you. I think I'm just gonna go on my own from Wellington on.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, travel is like, because it was, so take a holiday or like this kind of thing where it's obviously like, you know, an expensive trip because, you know, you're going to the other side of the world. Mm. A lot of money goes into it, a lot of investment in terms of like time, expectations, all these kind of things.
Emotions. Definitely.
Yeah. And I think it's okay on any sort of trip to be like, listen, I just kind of want to do my own thing. I don't think you necessarily need to go into kind of a critical analysis of why you need to do that.
But I think do draw up a list of grievances.
But I also think that, you know, we have to be conscientious of the other party, which we do tend to do. Perhaps this person is a method actor preparing for a play and they are... you know, studying their lines. That's why their AirPods in constantly.
They're going to be Mrs. Hannigan. Yes. That's why they're playing
on the
grumpy.
West End.
A little girl.
In the Borgosh. But yeah, we don't know that. But I think, yeah, it's funny as well.
Maybe they're on a work call. Maybe they're on a work call and they can't be interrupted.
Maybe they're also listening to Doomslayers. Have you thought about asking them what they're listening to?
Yeah, maybe they're flat out trying to catch up.
Maybe they're going to hear this and be brokenhearted.
But maybe Totes Ox in Auckland is actually an absolute melt.
Yeah.
And maybe you're the problem.
Maybe you're the problem,
Maybe this person can't stand to hear your... grating voice, screeching in the background.
If you're walking around smelling dog shit, maybe it's time to check your shoe, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the lesson for our listener here is I think decisiveness is a great virtue when it comes to holidays. And I think being clear and concise, not necessarily concise, but definitely being clear in what you want and just owning it and doing it and being like, here, you don't have to slate them, but you can just be like, hey, I kind of just want to do this. I think that's totally okay to do. Yeah. And I think that's what people should do on holidays, is just be decisive.
Yeah.
And say, this is what I am. This is what I want to do. Thank you so much. Thank you for the flowers. Thank you for everything. Julie Newmar.
The other option. The other option, and I think this is very camp, is to say, I'll get the ferry tickets. And then as you're stepping on and they say, ticket please, be like, oh, I forgot yours. Oh, well.
My hat box.
And then wave from the boat, leaving them in Wellington.
That's my favourite solution. I think that's what they should do.
I left my love at the Wellington Key.
I don't know this song even.
Dreamed a dream.
I don't know Irish songs.
On the ferry.
Row, row, row your boat. That's what we're doing, isn't it?
Oh my God, guys, I never told you about the time I went to North Korea.
Unfortunately, that's all we have time for on Doomslayers this week. If you would like to share your doom with us, please follow the link in the episode description on Spotify, or via the link in our bio on Instagram, or by texting us on WhatsApp on 089-494-0084. And remember...
I have an announcement. There's a Colonian woman on the wing. I saw her. There's something they're not telling us.
Doomslayers are not responsible for any injuries, impalements, prolapses, tweakments, fissures, timeshares, negative equity, large hadron collisions, small servings, epiphanies, or failed two-step verifications. Hereunto experienced and or endured by the listener in response to any advice administered and witness whereof the parties hereunto have set their hands to these presents as a deed on the day, month, and year hereon before mentioned. Doomslayers Inc. is a subsidiary of Hunky Farm and Calendars Limited, which is a registered trademark acquisition of Fatherly Fondant Fancies and Sons. Any attempts to slander or sodomize the Doomslayer name could result in cancellation of any outstanding prize bonds and or death.